the voice of the Oil Kings in Red Deer. Corey Graham joins us. Corey, how is the highway? Is it snowy on the way to Red Deer?
You know what? The Oil Kings left early, Jason, because there was all kinds of report of it being really snowy down here, but it's actually beautiful out, and all the snow they had earlier today has melted, so Kings got in here nice and early, so a little bit extra time here in the building tonight.
The Red Deer Rebels got some really bad news on the injury front yesterday.
Yeah, Lucas Sutter, the 20-year-old Winnipeg Jet draft pick, he's done for the year, I guess, and it's always tough for a 20-year-old kid to have his career end in the WHL that way, having to go under the knife for a shoulder surgery. He's not a big scorer for this club, but I think he's kind of one of those glue guys, one of those checking kind of forwards. He has a lot of experience playing last year in Saskatoon, part of the Memorial Cup, so they brought him in here for some experience, and unfortunately for him, back under the knife, and he's had shoulder issues before, so it's tough to see, and you hope the best for him, and I don't think he's signed yet by the Jets either, so he's going to have to kind of find a way to handle that as well as not being able to play the rest of the season.
I want to talk about Mitch Moroz coming off a really good, well, everybody had a good game against Lethbridge when you have 12 points, but he's now got 31 goals on the season, Corey. Him and Curtis Lazar battling back and forth for points. If you look at Moroz, and you've seen some Oil Kings go on professionally, Mark Pisick obviously so far has had the most success. Griffin Reinhardt, people think Curtis Lazar. You look at Moroz and you've seen his development, Corey. Where do you see him as an NHL guy? Do you think he's somebody who could be a 15 to 20 goal man in the NHL in a few years?
I would think that's in his potential for sure. We touched on before how he's chipping in offensively, and you mentioned the 31 goals now, and the kid's got, he's got really good hands, especially around the net. Mentioned a few times in the past about watching them after a practice where he'll stand in front of the goal and just tip pucks from the blue line, and he's so effective at getting himself some net front presence. And I think at some point he'll have to chip in a little bit offensively. He's likely going to play in Oklahoma City next year, I would guess, of the American Hockey League, and get some chance to play there a little bit and kind of get that first pro taste. But I would think, if you're looking at sort of a ceiling for him, possibly, yeah, if he could be that guy to make it to that level, to be able to play consistently night in, night out, and sort of be your third line checking winger that can chip in, I think that's potential in his game if he can get there for sure.
Has his foot speed improved?
I think so. Especially early in his career, he's a bigger body to begin with, but I don't think he really had that extra step. And this last year, especially playing with Curtis at times and with Henrik Samuelsson as well, he's had to have that speed to play on the offense. And I think he's worked on that and he's improved that as well. And I don't know. It's always tough for me to tell, kind of, unless they're skating against players from the next level, where exactly they are. At this level, though, I feel like he's improved enough to be, a guy that can be in the mix moving forward. But I'm not sure, NHL speed-wise, where he'd be at right now.
Okay. Curtis Lazar, how's his season gone overall?
He's been great. I think Curtis has been their most consistent player. On the scoreboard, sure, he's leading the team in goals, and he's got some more assists this year than he normally has. Usually he seems to be more of a scorer, but he's been everything offensively to this club. He's their leader, one of their big-time leaders in the dressing room, him and Griffin Reinhardt, obviously. And the way he plays that, the prototypical 200-foot game everybody talks about, that's just in his makeup. He's a guy, when you're at the rink, and you don't necessarily always see it on highlights, but when you're there watching what happens behind the play, or who's coming back to cover for a defenseman, or who's, back-checking hardest, and that's been Curtis Lazar. And you can tell when he's been in the lineup just how much this team relies on him. He plays all situations. He's a big penalty killer for this club. He gets a lot of key faceoffs as well. So, he's been everything I think you kind of expected him to be, especially coming off the draft last year and where he went to Ottawa. And I know there's a lot of people out there excited about him as well.
Corey Graham joins us. Do you think Red Deer, with this injury now, Corey, do you think they got enough to make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a good question. They're in a battle right now with Prince Albert. They're 2 points ahead. The Raiders have a game in hand, though. And, again, it's not a big scoring loss they're going to suffer because of this, but every time you take out somebody from your top six, top nine, that just impedes your depth a little bit. And, they've had some games where they played well, and obviously against the Oil Kings last weekend, that was one of them. And, they're going to – I think they'll go as far as Patrick Bartosak will carry them. He's the defending CHL goaltender of the year, and 53 stops or whatever it was against the Oil Kings last game, but they haven't matched up well against Calgary. I was just talking with Cam Moon about, and Calgary's outscored them 28-10 this year so far. So seems to play some really good games, and then there's other games where they just can't seem to find a way to find the back of the net. So You know, offensively, they're a bit challenged, and I think they're going to go as far as their goaltender takes them. And, you know, it's likely in the 7-8-9 hole at best right now.
Corey, you've been in this situation following the Oil Kings for the last few seasons. You know, they're pretty comfortable in where they are in the standings right now. They're a little bit of a battle with Calgary, but I still think they probably finish fifth. It's really now about just kind of fine-tuning. What are the things that Coach Laxdal is going to want to fine-tune about his team moving into the playoffs?
I mean, the power play is something he's been harping on for a while here, and, you know, that's really improved here as of late. Now, they scored 6 power play goals against Lethbridge last game. That's not going to happen very often, but, you know, it got them kind of up where they think they should be, over 20% now, and sort of in the mix with the top half of the league as opposed to the bottom where they've been most of the year. So, you know, that's been a big thing for this club. We all know come playoff times when power plays are few and far between, you need to have a team that can get that extra goal and how far that goes. So that's been the main one so far. And I guess you kind of couple that with net front presence. They had a lot of shots the last few games. Gosh, they had over 100 shots their last two, over 140 in the last three. They only had 5 goals on 90 shots against PA and Red Deer. So I think, you know, getting some better opportunities, not just shooting the puck for the sake of shooting the puck. They got to get a better drive to the front of the net, especially, again, when you come playoff time, the battle sort of intensified. They need to be better, I think, at getting to those areas to score.
It's interesting. That kind of sums up how Canada's doing at the Olympics right now a little bit. Guys just, you know, getting a lot of shots. Today they ran into a super hot goaltender, but a lot of people expect him to start scoring. Does Laxdal, when he sees his team struggling, does he put the blender in high? Does he switch his lines rather frequently?
Yeah, at times. You know, he did against Prince Albert in the third period, and they had a bunch of shots, and they weren't scoring. They had basically the same set of lines when everyone's healthy for, gosh, I want to say 10, 15 games, and he went away from that. Now he's got a new look here, and he's kind of riding that a little bit. And he thinks maybe he got a little stale at times where guys got a little comfortable where they're at, so they had to mix it up. He's not a big in-game adjuster so much, I don't think. I mean, there are times, obviously, when if somebody takes a dumb penalty or somebody's clearly not involved, he'll move them off that line for a couple of shifts, sort of wake him up. And I mean, that could be anybody on the team, not necessarily, I mean, he'll take an offensive guy off a line if he makes a dumb mistake or something like that, but not so much as, I don't want to say panic, you know, where you're sort of trying to throw something together to get something going. He doesn't do that a lot, but you'll see when he does switch lines, if he finds a little bit of chemistry, he'll kind of ride that new combination for a while, and then he'll kind of have that old combination, I think, in his back pocket if he has to change things again.
Corey, how has Griffin Reinhart played this season?
He's been really good. You know, he's been sick. He's missed the last 3 games, which I think, you know, probably hurts Edmonton. They give up some goals in those games, and I think you could tell that Griffin Reinhart wasn't in their lineup. He's such a shutdown defender at this level, Jason. You know, you look at his numbers, and you probably think he's not scoring a ton. He's not doing a ton offensively, but, you know, he's their first guy on the penalty kill. He's the first guy on every key situation like that. I don't think there's a player in this league, strength-wise, that can out-battle him in the corner. Like, he'll routinely take on 2 or 3 guys, especially on the penalty kill, and come out of that battle with the puck, and it's always down the ice. So as much as that's not a sexy thing to watch at times, I think you can't undervalue how much he does with his club on the back end. And, you know, you probably expect more numbers out of him for sure, but just the way he battles in his own zone. And he's a guy, too, that, I mean, he plays a ton, and he knows it. He knows when he has to get up and play a lot, and he knows when he's relied upon, and he knows when it's an easier game where he doesn't need to do it as much. I think he's a good player conserving his energy because he knows come the playoff time he's going to be a big part of this club. So if there's nights where, you know what, 80% is enough, he'll give you 80% and you'll win the hockey game.
Corey Graham joins us tonight. Oil Kings taking on the Red Deer Rebels. Corey, the rankings came out again. The Oil Kings in the top 10. Kelowna still ranked number 1. You've seen Kelowna a few times recently. Do you think they're the best team in the country?
It's hard to say. I think you look at their group, and they're such a solid group of players. They don't have a huge offensive presence where you're like, you have to shut down this guy or be concerned about this player. They're maybe the deepest team, I think, in this league right now. You know, top 4 lines. Their defense is very deep when you look in the back end with Severson and Madison Bowie as well. In goal, they're very solid with Jordan Cook. You know, it's going to be interesting out west, I think, with obviously the way Portland's playing. They've won 17 in a row right now, and, you know, they've just been on fire. So there are some weaker sisters in that division, in that conference still, but 17 in a row is still 17 in a row. So I'm really looking forward to actually seeing what happens out west. I think Kelowna, Portland and Victoria have really sort of separated themselves a little bit. You know, maybe throw Seattle in the mix there a little bit as well, but it's sort of them and everybody else. And then you look in the East, and, you know, clearly Edmonton and Calgary right now are sort of the two teams that have gotten away. But across the country, it's those top tens, I think, they're great to talk about, but until you actually play the other teams, you never really know. I mean, that's the sense I got when Edmonton went to the Memorial Cup, and, you know, they weren't a top-ranked team much of that year, and near the end they were when they started on that unbelievable run. But until you sort of see the other teams, then you get a sense of where you're at.
Corey, we'll be tuning in tonight for the pregame show and the call of the game at 7 o'clock. Enjoy it.
All right, Jason, thanks very much.